Let's dive into the scriptures. We're going to turn to James 5, 13 through 18. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore fruit. We have 3 weeks left in the sermon series, God, the Holy Spirit, and His Work. Today, we're going to focus on God, the Holy Spirit, and healing. I think this is a very important subject. So I'll talk about healing today. We'll bless all the fathers next week by talking about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Get everyone nice and scared on Father's Day. And then last week, we'll talk about the Holy Spirit, how He gives you strength, how He holds on, how He seals you into the day of redemption. We'll finish that up. I also will get you cuts of steak too, dads. We do that for the dads on Father's Day. I think this is such an important question when it comes to God, the Holy Spirit, and healing. It's a huge question because some people teach it in an unhealthy manner, and some people teach it has ceased. So those are two opposite sides that are unhealthy in themselves. My hope is at Restoration Road that we learn from the scriptures and we have a balanced understanding of God, theology, and the scriptures, and it shapes our heart and our mind. So we do not just want to learn theological stuff so we can say, I know. We want it really to penetrate our heart, and that's what I want to happen today. Because many people feel like God doesn't love them if He doesn't answer their prayer for healing. Many people feel that maybe God has forsaken them, or they're in sin, or they're not even a child of God if they're not healed from certain infirmities. And many people just teach, there's many charlatans out there. You see them on TV. They want your money. They're glitzy. They're showy. They have a 1-800 number and something selling for $9.99. And so they're trying to package and sell healing and taking advantage of a lot of vulnerable people. So I want us to know as the people of God, what do we do when we're sick? How should we approach it? Should we not believe at all and say, well, God healed back in the day, I'm moving on? Or should we put ourselves in a closet, and if we're not getting healed, like all these kind of things, I've seen so many unhealthy things. And for some reason, this ain't even part of my message, but I feel led to share the story. It's alarming, but I want you to understand how detrimental it can be when we try to see healing done in our own strength and not the power of the Holy Spirit. So, coming from Lynn, you just make friends with a lot of shady characters. You can't not. That's who. Everyone's shady and I love them. There was this dude, I didn't have a car at the time and I started going to church so he'd pick me up. A little cuckoo. So he was picking up this woman from Revere and then he'd pick me up. So he had to stop and get something out of his house. So I'm in the back seat. The woman's in the front seat. He says, I'll be right out. I don't really know this woman. When he goes in the house, he looks back at me and says, I hope I won't say this person's name. This is so, I didn't mean to share this, but I want you to hear the severity of, like, people get crazy when it comes to healing, and I want us to find balance. He said, I hope he stops punching me in the legs and telling Satan to leave because it's hurting my legs. Some might say, that is crazy. You are absolutely right. But you would be amazed at how many people, when it comes to healing, doing irrational things because they think that they won't seek doctor's advice, they don't seek their pastors to pray. I've seen people die and be sick for long times because they won't get medicine, because they won't seek doctor's help. I want us to hear the extreme there. And I've heard other people who say, I will not pray. God doesn't hear my prayer. He doesn't heal. What I want us to happen today is want us to hear that we should be praying and believing for healing. But we should accept that God is sovereign when we are not healed. That keeps us away from dramatic circus things that we're doing, and it takes away from us totally putting on the shelf any kind of healing that God would and could bring into life. You know, I remember as a dad, is there anything worse than watching your kid get sick? As a mom, is there anything worse? You'd rather take that sickness on yourself and suffer. So Kira, when she was younger, had about 25 warts on her back. They looked like Rice Krispies. And it wasn't anything serious, but as a dad, I don't want 25 warts on my baby's back. Okay? I'm very protective. I want that back clear. So I didn't tell Natalie, and I said, you know what? I'm going to believe God for healing when it comes to this. You know? Because I came from a hyper-charismatic church, as you know from the story I just told you, where people were claiming healing, no one's healed. The dude be like, I'm healed. Next week, he'd come in the same sickness. I don't know what happened. I didn't believe. So, stuff when you get bad theology, that happens. And so I said, you know what? There's a temptation to throw any kind of faith out. I'm not going to pray for healing because I don't want to get let down again. I said, I'm praying for my daughter's healing. Let's do this. I went outside. I didn't tell Natalie. I cleared the story with her today to make sure I was accurate. I don't want to be exaggerating stuff at the pulpit. Do you know, I prayed hard. I felt so righteous. Do you know the next day, all those warts fell off her back? Is that to me, that's huge. I know it wasn't life-threatening, but to me, it was huge because it testified to the fact that I should believe God for healing and that he hears the words of a righteous man. There's been other times, though, that I prayed for healing with my children that it hasn't happened. Does that mean I should stop praying for healing? No. I should still believe. And when God chooses not to answer, I accept his sovereignty. And so there's three things I want to answer today. I want us to get direction when it says, you're sick in the local church, what do you do? Because the scripture tells us. Secondly, I want us to believe God for healing, that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And third, I want us to know what to do when God doesn't hear our prayer, when we ask for healing for ourselves or for our loved ones. So, what's the question they ask right out the gate? It says, God the Holy Spirit gives us direction for healing in the local church. The Apostle James says, is any among you cheerful? Then sing praise. Is any among you suffering? Then pray. But then he says, is any among you sick? What does he give us for direction there? If you're sick, call on the elders of the church. Have them anoint you with oil and pray for you. I think this is a lost art, if you would. One, because I believe in this culture. You know how we hear, we're all ministers of the gospel. I think people have gone an unhealthy understanding of that. So if you're talking, we're ministering to one another, absolutely. But not all are pastors. Not all are called to be pastors. I've been in churches where there's like 25 people laying their hands on you. Where do you see that in the scriptures? Where? Because I want to be shaped by the scriptures. I don't want to be shaped by how I grew up in that culture. Where do you see that direction for the whole church to lay hands on one another? I'm still searching. I could be wrong, but I'm really trying to learn that. But I do see direction. When you're sick, call on the elders of the church and have them pray for you. Two, that should give you great hope that God, you have the problem and you have the direction, and we'll talk about the response when we act in that way. But there's a few things I want to pull out here. The first is, Apostle James is presuming that you are part of a local church. Don't you love meeting people and they say, well, I'm spiritual. I take hikes on Sunday. Just spiritual. No, you're not. You're delusional. I ride my bike and I take a hike. Apostle James is presuming that everyone has placed themselves under authorities of some pastors and elders who are caring for their soul. And once again, this is where the whole minister thing and we're all the church everywhere we go, that's when it gets theologically messed up. There's some unhealthy doctrine out there when it comes to that. It's presuming that you have placed yourself under the care of pastors, a team of pastors who is loving you, who is making mention of you in their prayers, who is watching over your soul, as the scriptures say, and who has spiritual authority in your life, and you put yourself under their care. You'd be blown away how many people I run into. I haven't seen them in 5 years. They'd be like, "Pastor!" I'm like, "Who are you?" They'd be like, "I want you to know that I still consider you my pastor. I haven't seen you in 5 years, but you are still my pastor." No, I'm not. I am not your pastor if I haven't seen you for 5 years. I'm not. That's freedom. That's grace. That's good stuff. People are delusional. I've had people, I run into them in the school or whatever, and they're with someone. They're like, "Come here. Come over here. You, come over." And they introduce me as the pastor. And I'm like, "There's no real, I'm not your pastor. This isn't real. Let's not play games. Let's be honest. That's okay, I'm not your pastor. That's okay. God's only called me to be a pastor of certain people, and I'm okay with that." I want us to hear that first. If we're going to call for the church to pray for us, they need to know that you're part of the church. And you need to know that you're under their care, and they've been praying for you, caring for you, crying over you, suffering over you, on their knees for you, loving you, preaching to you. That's a real relationship there. We've made church something it shouldn't be. Pastors shouldn't be 1-800 call and get a pastor. "I need a pastor." You're a pastor, not your pastor. That's so important. We got to shake that up in our culture. So first thing, it's presuming that you have a pastor to call on. Secondly, it's presuming that you are under the leadership of a team of pastors. I know we're a small church. We're 3+ years old. We're building this thing from the ground up. But I'm so thankful to God that there are actually 2 of us. We need Dave. He calls himself the cuddly pastor. You need the cuddly pastor to balance this guy. You need a team of guys with different personalities, keeping each other accountable, because that's what the scripture demands. The scripture says, raise up a team of elders that are going to care for the church and love the church and lay down their life for the church. Because he says, calls for the elders, plural. That is so important in our society, in our church culture. Because what we want to do, we want to call on the celebrity pastor that's not really part of our life. Who is the magic man? Where's the magic man? Instead of, where are the men who are caring for me and love me, have a track record of loving me and watching out for my soul? It presumes that you have put yourself under a team of men who are pastors, who are called and who are qualified to care for you and pray for you. And when you get sick, they actually bleed with you. It's not out of duty, it's out of love, and it's out of calling. Who wouldn't want to call elders that you know love you in that deep, compassionate, and merciful way? I remember when Joe Vec got sick. I'm sorry, Joe, this is always a story. He gets emotional every time I share this story. You're in church, you can cry. So it had been, many of you heard the story, but I want to share it because some of you haven't. My father-in-law is a legend, an absolute legend. He's 103 years old. He looks great. I kept telling him, he was sick, he wasn't feeling well, he's trying to snowblow his driveway, some sort of handkerchief tied around his head, he was going through some stuff. I said, "Joe, me and Dave here, you got to go to the hospital, man, something is wrong, he's pushing this." So Nancy finally cracked too, said, "Joe, you're sweating, you're sick, get up, we're going to the hospital. We're not going to be the Italian guy that just makes it through this. I know your culture, and if you just believe and move on, you'll be fine, but you're going to the hospital." They go to the hospital. All of a sudden, we realize it's a lot more serious than it is. It actually, part of its intestine, it was punctured, sepsis, very serious. So Natalie and Nancy go to there, just thinking that they're going, he's going to be fine, it will pass, this and that. They come home in absolute tears. There's something wrong. You've got to go. You've got to pray for him. You've got to go with another pastor of the church. You've got to do this. All of a sudden, I realized we had a life or death situation on our hands. It's important that we had direction in that situation. We had three pastors at a time. For some of you didn't know Joffrey, when we first started out, we started like 15 pastors and two people. We did it backwards. We're learning. But Joffrey, it was like 11:30 at night. Joffrey came there, and I said, we're going to pray for Jovec. I walked into the ICU. The ICU. He wasn't conscious. They had a breathing tube down his throat. I asked the nurse. You know the nurse, they're trained a certain way, so info. But I'm telling you right now, I know this is popping in and out. Me, Dave, just said we have to buy a new one. Maybe it's sooner than later. I walk in there. I said to the nurse, he's going to be all right. You know when you look on the face of the nurse, and no matter how much they're trained, you realize things aren't looking good. She said, I can't promise you anything. I said, he's going to make it, though. I can't say anything. He's in the ICU. And I realized that moment we had a life or death situation on our hands. The reason I share this whole story is because me and Joffrey went there. I prayed on the way there, shed a few tears, but I said to myself, it's my calling with another elder in this church to believe. Because you know where your mind wants to go in life and death situations? It wants to go to the worst case scenario so you can set yourself up for it, right? I'm not going to believe because if I believe and this doesn't work, my faith is going to be shattered. But by the grace of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he put a supernatural faith in me that I said, I'm praying, I'm believing, I'm praying once, and that's it. We went up there, we laid hands on him, we prayed on him. He's still here by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Now, I want you to hear this. Of course he still stayed at the hospital. Of course he still had procedures. Of course. Anytime you're praying for healing, that should be partnered with a good doctor. Do you guys hear me? That's where a lot of people go out crazy. I'm believing. I won't take that Tylenol to the glory of God. I'm not bringing my family down there to get checked. He will be healed. Like, that's how crazy stuff happens. You pray, you believe, you call on the elders of the church and get them to the Wakefield Melrose. That's what you do. Because the church, God has called you to do that. Second thing, with all that stuff, with that direction, amen, Sadie. I want this to build our faith. So we have, are you a sick? What do? You call on the elders. They pray for you. Then it gives you a total response. It says, I love how the apostles rolled. They said, pray for him. The dude will get up. There was like, no, none of like, dance around a little. You know, you got to work the oil. He said, pray for him. They'll be raised up by the power of the Lord. What I want to happen today, I want us to have faith that when we call on the elders of the church, when we even pray in our own prayer life for healing of others, that we believe that God is going to hear our prayer for healing because there's no reason not to. Do you guys hear that? I want you to believe that you worship a God that heals his people, who wants to heal his people. And there's a few things that I want to build up your faith in these things. The first is that the Lord does the healing, no man does the healing. So if you're putting your faith in a man, you're going to be let down. But if you understand that Jesus conquered Satan, sin, and death and disease, and by his stripes you are healed, if you hold on to those things, understand that the Lord can and will heal you at times. That builds your faith. There's power in the name of Jesus, and he will at times heal the infirmities of his people. One of the beautiful things about when Jesus came is people were getting healed left and right. I love hearing about and reading and remembering the stories of Jesus just raising people from the dead, causing the blind to see, causing the deaf to hear, causing the crippled to walk, causing those who were possessed by demons to be set free. He was just healing in all kinds of capacities because he was a God of love. And he heals those who he loves. Second, that should be God's grace that you have a Savior in Jesus who heals. Secondly, have faith that God is making your pastors righteous. You got to have faith that he's sanctifying me and Dave. You got to have faith that the Holy Spirit's working in our hearts. You got to have faith that we're becoming more like Jesus. Because Apostle James is indicating that. Because if you've seen the text, he talks about the elders praying. Then he says, the prayers of a righteous person avail much. And he brings in Elijah. Now, that's heavy weight for me and Dave. I'm going to go home and repent more after service. But it's saying that your pastors should be men of character, men of repentance, men of righteousness, men of the cross, men who take up their cross, men who pray for you, men who lay it down, men who are like Jesus. That should build your faith that God is working in your pastors and in local churches all over the place to make them righteous men who, when you call them when you're sick, they're ready to answer their call and do the duty that the Lord has placed before them. Amen? That's God's grace to us. Because if it says, and this is the heavy part with this tension, we talk about sin a lot here at Restoration Road. We don't talk a lot about sin so that people feel condemned. We talk a lot about sin because we love people. And when you take sin out of the gospel, it is not the gospel anymore. And if pastors truly love their people, they'll warn them about the thing that harms them the most. You know how we are as parents. What do we say all the time? Stay away from that and don't do that. You get hurt, this and that. So any pastor that doesn't preach about sin, you don't hear it in his messages, doesn't love his people. He loves his own praise. We preach about sin because in places like this in the text, it implies that some of us are sick because of our habitual sin. And that's where the tension is. It's saying the prayers of the righteous man, those who are living with integrity, living repentant, living growing, their prayers are heard. But some of you are sick because you're living in sin. And we see that even when the communion passage we read today. Apostle Paul says, don't take communion lightly, because some of you, by taking it lightly, are becoming sick and even dying. There's heavy things with that, and because I love you, I want to warn you guys of those things. But the grace of God in all of this is this. God is sanctifying you. The Holy Spirit is convicting you, and he's removing sin from your life and habitual sin. So I don't want you guys to hear that. So if you hear that, and you got scared of an habitual sin you're living in, you need to repent of, that's the joy of repentance. Repent of that. There's nothing to be afraid of. But do not hear that everyone's sick because they've sinned. That's not what I'm saying. But I need to be faithful to the scriptures that some people are sick because they live in habitual sin. Because it even says, if you don't treat your wife right, all men, take this serious. If you don't treat your wife right, God doesn't hear your prayers. You know the scriptures say that? That messes up your prayers if you don't treat your wife right. But no one will preach that today because we're afraid to offend people. I care about people, and me and Dave love you enough to say, let's do this way, the scripture way, so we live in freedom and we live in peace and we live with answered prayers. Amen? God is sanctifying you, and he's convicting you of sin so that you can repent and walk in the newness of life, so that sickness because of sin never has a hold of your life. So hear that grace today. Hear that grace today. But also hear me saying, not all of you get sick because you sinned. Everyone could take that and get that totally unbalanced. There was someone Jesus healed in his ministry and said, you're not sick because you sinned. You're sick so that the glory of the Lord could be demonstrated through you today. So we see that in the scriptures. So I want us first, we have the direction, call on the elders. Believe that the person will be raised up. It's all the Lord. God's making our pastors righteous. We want to repent of sin, but also thank God that sin is being worked out of our life. But the big question happens, what do we do when God doesn't answer our prayer for healing? That's huge, right? We don't want people who are praying for healing walking around in condemnation. All of a sudden, you're at home just, there must be some sin I don't know about, and I'm sick. Oh, God doesn't love me. Oh, my pastor's not righteous. Like, there's so many ways that you could go through that. I want you to hear this. We want to believe God for healing, and we want to believe when God doesn't answer our prayers for healing, he's sovereignly working his power out in us in mysteries and ways that we can't understand. And I want to give you good hard examples of this. So I'll share in my own life, and I know this is much lighter than maybe some of the afflictions, infirmities, or sickness you might be going through or your loved ones might be going through. But I've had severe asthma and allergies ever since I was born. Like I was just, I can barely get air. I went and got tested for allergies. I can eat peanut butter and mow grass. 40 shots, I'm allergic. I can't even get out of mowing my lawn, and I can eat peanut butter sandwiches. It messes up. You don't realize, because some people are like, oh, you got a sniffing nose? Take a Zyrtec, man. Stop overplaying it. You do not realize. Unless you're allergic to everything on earth, you don't realize how much that limits you. If you can't breathe, that doesn't help the day. So I've been severely limited in my life in a lot of things. But I've always felt that those things have made me weak. So I realized I wasn't strong and needed the power of God to work in my life. I feel like it kept me away from a lot of harm where I had limits and had to watch things that if I didn't, I would have went astray in many areas of my life. God used that affliction. I prayed these allergies away, man. I was like, I'm not taking Claritin for all month. Just sniffling. Just coughing. Just can't breathe. I needed to just take the inhaler. God has allowed me to have these limits in my life that his power may be made perfect in my weakness. His grace is sufficient. And I want to give you this example in the Apostle Paul. Now, you want to talk about a man of faith, the greatest apostle who ever lived, has the gifts of healing. So Apostle Paul is healing people. He's called, if you read the scriptures, you read that, I believe it in Lystra, he called up a crippled man, dude was crippled, he just said, get up and walk, moving on. Moving on. Some dude was pulling the Johnny Coppler, fell asleep and fell out the church. Paul said, moving on, get up, brother, be risen from the dead, and still went to the text. Point number 15. This dude is seeing people healed left and right. He has the gifts of, he's seeing working of miracles and gifts of healings. But you know there were times when he prayed and he wasn't even healed himself? Do you guys know that? This is where your theology gets built right here. This times he saw mighty signs and wonder. Do you know that he couldn't even pray for Timothy to be healed with stomach ailment? He said, drink a little wine. I can't help you, brother. There was a dude he was trying to minister with, and the guy was so sick, almost to the point of death, that he wrote, this guy's so sick, I don't know if he can make it. Why didn't Paul pray for healing? Maybe he prayed and it just wasn't, God sovereignly didn't allow him to be healed. How about when the Apostle Paul, many theologians believe the thorn in his flesh was an ailment he had that made him weak. He prayed 3 times. So when Paul, who has faith, is praying once and people rise from the dead, I think he'd go 1 for 1, right? 3 times he goes back to God and says, take this thorn away from me. Take this physical sickness away from me. God didn't answer his prayer. But Paul came to the conclusion that I want those who suffer with ailments and chronic sicknesses to come to if God doesn't hear your prayer of sickness. He says, his grace is sufficient, for his power is made perfect in my weakness. He said, this sickness has caused me on my knees because I've been to the third heaven. I've seen angels. I've heard angels. I've done miraculous things. I've done miracles. I've seen gifts of healing. And God has allowed me to be sick so that his power may be perfect in my weakness. Do you guys hear that today? You are not. Just because you're sick doesn't mean you are living in sin. Because you're sick doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Because you're sick doesn't mean that God, you don't have enough faith. God might be allowing a sickness in your life that he might be glorified through you. And you might be called to identify the people through your sickness that you would have never had a heart for if he hadn't allowed you to have that ailment. Amen? So I want us to hear today that your God, our God, is a God of healing. We should have faith that we will be healed. We should call on our elders to pray for us. But at the same time, when God sovereignly allows us to have a sickness, we know that his power is made perfect when we are weak and he is made strong, and everything will be brought to light And every sickness, every disease, all death, it all will be swallowed up in eternity. Is that awesome? It's one thing I'm looking forward to in heaven. No colds. I don't have to see someone suffering. I'm a germaphobe. I don't want to worry about getting something. No more death, no more disease, no more handicapped people. No more cancer, no more AIDS. No more. It's all demolished through the cross of Christ. He's going to wipe away every tear, wipe away every disease. He is the healer. We need to believe that he has the healing power now and know that all sickness will be cast away in eternity. Let's pray.